This is the BGR fan service. I'm Derwin Alexander. These are some of the things in the last few days I want to talk about on the podcast. The first is What If Episode 1. So I watched the first episode of the Disney Plus series. The overall animation style is very captivating. It has a nice fluid look and didn't seem to falter during the action scenes. Even though it's less than half an hour long, they hit the key beats from the first Captain America movie. In this version, though, it's Peggy Carter as the Super Soldier and Steve Rogers as the normal human love interest. She has the additional hill to climb in the story of the SSR overlooking her because of her gender. Also, they didn't play up the Red Skull being a recipient of the Erskine formula. I think it was to make room in the story to show Peggy and Steve's romance and spotlighting that no matter which one is superpowered, that they're doomed to not be together in the end. Well worth the watch. Also, the Blade Runner Black Lotus trailer has been put up by Adult Swim, and it'll be seen on Adult Swim and Crunchyroll. Now, this is going to come out under Cartoon Network's anime studio. The trailer has a Battle Angel Alita feel to me, especially if she's some sort of rogue replicant that the LAPD is out to retire. It's hard to judge a show, though, based on the trailer, so I have to wait for the episodes to decide. The overall moody look, though, seems to obscure the look of the 3D animated characters. The close-ups suggest a sort of too smooth plastic look to them. Other than that, I can't really tell you much about the show. I guess I'll just have to wait and see. HBO Max seems intent on getting as much of my attention as humanly possible. They posted The Venture Brothers on their app Friday. It seems to have all but one of the show's episodes, one of my favorites, Very Venture Christmas, where the Krampus is accidentally summoned to the Christmas party and gets into a fight with the bodyguard, Brock Sampson. The Krampus attack on Dr. Venture and Brock's response is a great transition from weird horror to swift and blinding violence, and all of it with a great comedic tone. The show may not be for everyone, because the germ of the show is an old super science show and characters from the 1960s. They're still trying to function like it's still the 60s, and a lot of their behavior is out of step with the modern world, and most of them have been forgotten or fallen through the cracks and have gotten ignored. So the few times they are interacting with the rest of the world outside of this bubble, it really shows you how strange they are. But this forgotten space-age world still exists for them, and their rivals and allies move around in it as well. It's weird and odd, but it's never boring, and they let the characters slowly change and evolve as the needs of the show change. Like, the original secret of the show was that the boys, the Venture Brothers of the title, are actually clones. The audience doesn't know this when they die, though. In the show, Dr. Venture and Brock know this, and when the first season ended with their death, you weren't sure how the series was going to continue. So when you tune in to season 2, you think Doc is running because of the grief, but he's actually running because he's too lazy to be a parent and activate two more clones. They even do a montage going over how the boys had previously died between episodes and before the show started. And that's just one of the things about the show, and the characters that keep you guessing. The powers that be at Cartoon Network, I think, ended the show too soon. Supposedly, they're getting a movie that'll wrap up the series as we know it. The creators are unique guys, so I'm not expecting the standard wrap-up style story, so hopefully it'll be good. Now, Netflix has released the names and pictures of the leads for the live-action Avatar: The Last Airbender series. They're avoiding the easiest mistake when it comes to casting, unlike the feature film, which seems to have made every mistake possible. I'm not familiar with any of the actors, but it's nice to get some good news about the show. The last big story was when the animated series creators walked away. Since then, Nickelodeon gave the creators their own studio to make more Avatar properties. And it's an interesting side note, since Nickelodeon was not too adamant about the Korra series, treating it quite badly, changing the time constantly, and even posting the last episodes of the series online. Back to Marvel news, a leaked costume photo for the Moon Knight character has been posted online. It looks like a leaked photo, though, meaning I don't know really what to make of it. It's not enough really detail to make a judgment on how to look on the show, but you do get a sense of the direction they're going with the costume. But I just want to hold my opinion until I see it in the series. Apparently it's going to be compared to the Scorpion look in the Mortal Kombat movie, which it does have a similar looking hood, but not too much else. So if you haven't seen the leaked photo, it's all over the internet, so go check it out. Also, it'll help build buzz for the show leading to the premiere, and pushes the ScarJo suing Marvel story out of the nerd news cycle. And in streaming news, Viacom is shuffling some of their executives around to build the Paramount Plus streaming into a contending platform, which just probably means they'll end up tied in fourth place with Peacock. And finally, the Back for Blood beta posted on Xbox and I believe PlayStation. The beta ends this weekend on the 14th. It's a four-player survival horror game like the old-school Left 4 Dead series, which is appropriate since Turtle Rock Studios helped make Left 4 Dead with Valve. Apparently, it's a make-it-or-break-it game for Turtle Rock, but despite the game maker saying this isn't a Left 4 Dead clone, it seems like a close relative for sure. But it's got some nice new features, such as you can save an exit and restart at the same location. One of the big problems, though, are the bots are not the best. There's more nuisance than there are help half the time. But the supers, the massive super zombies, are a good variety, and the same types don't always attack you the same way. And there are also tasks that needed to finish each chapter of each act, keeping you off balance against zombie attacks. But there are a lot of attachments and customizations for weapons and survival. And one of the interesting chapter ends is that you have to build a safe house by securing a church during a zombie attack. Also, another nice key improvement is they added being able to walk and heal at the same time. But it's still a beta, so there are some rough edges, but it seems like an okay game overall. Saturday, August 14th is the last day of the beta, so if I get to post this by then, try to jump on before it's over. Alright, so that's about all I've got to say for this episode. I want to thank you all again for listening, and you have a great day.